So this is from user Carl G. Anderson, no relation, as far as I know, but I'm going to call him Cousin Carl. On the latest Full Cast After Dark, you were wondering about what makes David Shaw laugh. A few years ago, when I worked at Oklahoma, I got to go to the CFB Awards in Atlanta. Part of our trip included getting to go to the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, has anybody visited the College Football Hall of Fame, like gone on the tour?
No, I didn't do the tour.
No, I didn't do the tour.
I have not.
I'm attaching a picture here. Not sure if it's still there, says Carl, but there was a thing where you could design your own halftime show. Now I'll send you the picture. And it's this like it's these video games that are set up like the old Pac-Man tables, and they have a football field on them, and like you can drag the marching band around the field with your fingers. You can have a mascot race. It's cute. It's this cute little kids activity. And he said he walked by, the hall was open just for the award attendees, and he's pretty empty. And he walks through, and there's David Shaw just designing his own halftime show and laughing quietly to himself. So I guess that answers the question. He's like, mascot races there. I love this.
I hope he had the Stanford band perfectly spelling out boobs. I hope that was the whole
Yes. Or just having the Stanford band in formation at all, like they're a
Right,
square.
correct. Ha.
A rhombus.
They're look at them, they're all in the same uniform.
He's That's weird.
They're not throwing potatoes at the Notre Dame crowd.
He's just lining up 50 trombone players,
Yeah.
right? Just there you
It's
go,
like everybody
fuckers.
make a fart. Anyway, I he there there's their photo of the exhibit that is that does not, include David Shaw, but I really love this visual of him just like quietly chuckling to himself as he positions the Dr. Pepper cans for the challenge. Like, oh, they're really gonna have to throw this time.
If I could design my own halftime show, acid jazz. We're doing acid jazz for 12 straight minutes.
This is why you're not in charge of things.
Please welcome the University of Florida as they do their most baffling halftime show ever. Bitches Brew by Miles Davis.
There was a recent high school jamboree for the marching bands here, maybe like a month or two ago. And it was a big thing because a lot of the kids in marching band here, like haven't gotten to march in 2 years or so. So they put on this special, like, I don't think it was at the Titan Stadium, but it was at somewhere decently big. And it was just like a series of marching bands going through and doing their shows. And one of the schools, and I won't say which one because I don't want to throw them under the bus, decided to play original music. And boy, was that a
No.
hit. Boy, was that an overwhelming hit. That's what
No.
people in the crowd want to hear. Which is,
And
that's on the band director. That's, don't do that to your
I have
kids.
mentioned this before. Yeah, band directors getting out of over their skis could be this whole disaster episode by itself. I will say one time where a band took a, and I remember this to this day because they obliterated us so thoroughly, but there is one time where I've seen a band take a huge swing and it resulted in fucking flames. When I was in high school, we competed one year. I was a junior or a senior, and we were doing, I think I was a junior, and we were doing a fucking Beatles show. Ugh. But which just made the contrast all the more stark when Science Hill came in and marched to Holst's Symphony of Planets.
Oh, marching in 5/4
And
rules.
had, yeah, first of all, half it's 5/4. Second of all, they had these huge custom round silks made up of like photorealistic depictions of Jupiter.
Of Mercury
So,
and
like,
shit.
right. So, by the end, they had like a working solar system model on the field with all the fucking sick.
That is good.
Anyway, that's the biggest swing I've ever seen. That's the most extra thing I've ever seen a high school marching band do, and it was incredible. Go that way. Don't do the other thing. I'm in charge.
One of the other schools at this jamboree did Pony, and of course everybody fucking loved
That's
that.
right. Give the people what they want.
Yep.
Thank you.
to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. My name is Spencer Hall. Sometimes I talk about college football. Joining me as always, introduced in expedient fashion, Jason Kirk. Jason Kirk, what's going on?
I talk about college football as little as possible.
Excellent. Also joining me, Holly Anderson. Hello, Holly.
Okay. How are all the people in Star Wars still normal human people, but all the animals are super fucked up? Like, where are the dogs and cats in the Star Wars?
Aliens ate them.
Like, there's no gerbils?
They hadn't ate evolved them. Yet. It was
there's
a long,
no
long
regular
ago.
Ass snakes?
Seeing as it was a long, long time ago, I think the simplest answer is they just hadn't evolved yet. But people had.
Okay.
Yeah, there was that Jabba the Butt rat.
I'm like, you can have a British accent, but no kangaroo? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, please keep going.
I was just going to say that Wookiees ate them all because all I ever see Chewbacca do is just pick up random things and eat it.
Ryan Nanny, how's it going?
I don't think Chewbacca eats anything in the entirety of the Star Wars films.
He eats
a porg. He arrives at a new planet, beholds an adorable species of animal.
He tries to eat a porg.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure it's implied that he eats at least one.
He puts one on a spit.
Right? He roasts one.
Yeah, he roasts one. And frankly, pork looks pretty tasty.
Tender.
Yeah.
I think it's quite canon that Chewbacca eats porgs.
But that's it. But Spencer's making it sound like wherever they go, they're constantly like a two-year-old crawling around trying to eat a remote control. They're having to constantly pull things.
Like a grown,
Chewbacca, stop. Stop. No.
Like a grown husky man looking for sustenance.
Chewbacca, stop eating the thermal detonator. Stop it. We are trying to rescue your dad. Stop it.
He wouldn't eat that because he's a competent
He's a soldier.
Ship.
He's a man of fortune.
Captain. But as far walking around meat-based life forms on planets, he's going to try them all.
He's game, man.
So when Yoda says good relations with the Wookiees I have, I always thought he was talking about like piggyback rides they give. But what if it's because Yoda is counting on Wookiees to eat everything of similar size that might potentially be a food chain adversary for him?
So I think it's half that and half Yoda's taste fucking terrible. Mm. Nothing about Yoda is like, oh man, he'd look good. If you put him in a stew, fucking
yeah.
Nasty.
When Yoda's idea of a perfect retirement plan is going to shit planet.
Yeah, Yoda looks like British.
And he's
food.
Like fine there. Everything it sucks and looks like he went to. I know it smelled crazy in there. The planet.
He did. He went,
no, and he went fit in great.
He went to Florida. Like seriously, he's like, I'm gonna go to Fartsylvania, and that's where I'm gonna live. Is on the fart planet.
But this is like it would be Florida would apply if they were like, oh right, Yoda lives next to Checkers.
This is pre air conditioning.
We don't know that he
does
that.
That stuff that he pulls out of the mini fridge kind of looks like it came from Checkers.
Yeah.
Those little meat sticks that are kind of lumpy. Mm-hmm. We don't actually know that they're meat. That might be falafel.
Yeah. But like the ability to like someone's car is stuck in his front yard. That to me is very Florida. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying is Star Wars is the opposite of Game of Thrones, or Game of Thrones is all like, let's talk about the food and the drink at great length.
You know,
George Lucas is like, I don't know, you just smoke your breakfast and move on and Jedi yourself to death.
It's actually even more Floridian than a car because Luke gets a boat and immediately sinks it.
Yep.
And what does he do? I can't get it out!
And what does
the other
Luke
guy's
do
like,
when he arrives?
I got this shit, hold on.
Once he gets there, he goes to find a cave full of fascists.
George Lucas doesn't even understand how food works because Luke grows up. Where does Luke work? On a farm. What do they grow? Moisture.
Water.
It's moisture. A moisture farm.
There's so many things about Star Wars that George just didn't give a shit about.
I'm just hearing that, like, cooking with
George
Lucas
George,
is...
wonder why droids are taking people's jobs and what's on your farm? Dehumidifiers?
The enemy is congestion.
Like, there's one restaurant. There's two restaurants in the Star Wars universe. There's the Mos Eisley Cantina, and there's that weird fucking diner in one of the prequels that looks like a diner. That's like a Johnny Rockets in Star Wars for
at
some
one point,
reason.
At one point, Rey eats something that, like, you know, you dehydrate like, with a tablet.
Sure,
that, like,
portion.
Pops up, right?
Yeah,
that looks like British
portions.
Food.
Yep.
This is a universe where the villains are British, so all of the food is definitely, if you want oppression and imperial tyranny, British food across an entire system of galaxies and star systems, that's absolutely.
Like, what does Great Star Wars Bake Off even look like?
I think, so George has said, essentially, episode four, the first movie, is it's an allegory for the Vietnam War, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So who are the good guys? They have spicy food.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guys do not.
Yep.
This is how we distinguish.
Thank you for, by the way, can I just switch Noel Fielding and Jar Jar Binks as
and
characters?
Can you put them both in space forever?
Can I shoot both of them out of an airlock?
Yep.
That would be delightful. I think this is every saga, every major like multi-part saga has some portion of the story background or lore that the creator is just like, no. I'm not even gonna fuck with
it. It's not important.
No one will notice.
No one can possibly care about
everything. Lean pockets. They eat literally. Lean pockets were invented in the Star Wars universe a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and everyone eats them.
That's where they're keeping the Snackwell's devil food cakes. That's where they went.
Yeah.
They kind of look like portions.
That's where Vianetta went for a while before we reclaimed
it. It tastes like it came from a galaxy far, far away.
It does.
It did not hold up.
No.
Listen, carbonite freezing is not for everything, but it is for Vianetta ice cream treats. Sponsors of this week's Push. No, I'm sorry.
Hey, speaking of food and conflicting traditions.
Fuck, we nailed it.
We are going to play a game. It is Thanksgiving week. If you've never listened to our Thanksgiving episode, please find Ryan's carefully curated disasters playlist on Spotify, helpfully labeled Thanksgiving Disasters. This is in the spirit of Night Ham. And we offer up Night Ham not just because it is hilarious as a solution, but because the alternative advice is all bad. I don't use the word horrific lightly, but... Fellas, it's time for us to take on the mighty New York Times again.
Let's go.
And before I tell you what that holy newsroom has disgorged at us this week, I'm going to play a little game.
From the makers of Guacamole with Peas.
Let's take this round the horn.
And the weapons of mass destruction are real.
Oh, yeah. God, which one was... You know what? I know which one caused a bigger internet fight.
True.
From Tom Cotton's personal blog, The New York Times.
Exterminate the Bastards by Tom Cotton.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Added to that mighty canon. All right. First of all, let's start with the hypothetical. Around the horn. If invited to a holiday dinner, not your own, what items would you bring, if any, for the host or for, like, say that you haven't been asked to bring a specific dish, but items for the host, for the table, anything in terms of a host gift or a generic contribution to the meal. Ryan, do you have anything in mind that you're just toting along with you to present at the door?
I'm going to do this Family Feud style, and I'm going to say bottle of wine.
Sure.
I feel like that's number one, number two on the board.
Sure, sure.
Show me.
Oh, God.
Show me Merlot.
Okay, so it's... Okay, nothing is an option.
No, cash.
Cash?
Gift card?
Okay, fine. Cash. Spencer, tell you what, I'm going to offer you something that I know you're good at. Show up with nothing but volunteer immediately to do the dishes. Sure.
Okay.
How about
there,
that?
There, I'll do
Everybody
that.
Loves yeah. that guest, right? Right?
I'll be that guy.
Jason, anything for you?
It's going to be heavily context dependent, and one of the many pieces of context is going to be, am I or is Emily in charge of deciding what we are bringing?
Sure.
If it's her, it'll be a lovely dessert, and who knows what else, and many other things that I've said, like, you don't have to spend this much time making all this, and she'll have decided she really wants to. If it's me, it's going to be whichever 12-pack of beer looked coolest to me that day.
Great. All right. That's a great
choice. And I will
not
pretend that I will be bringing anything classier than beer, because I do not lie to people like that.
Server, you're invited to a holiday dinner with family and or friends. What do you show up at the door with, if anything?
I'm tempted to say mashed potatoes specifically, because a lot of people fuck those up, and I want something that's good that I like.
Brought your own mashed potatoes.
But these are for daddy.
Do you bring enough for everybody, or is this just for you?
Yeah, no, I bring enough for everybody so as to not make it weird, but clearly, like, I don't trust their mashed potatoes, so I brought mine. But that's not what I'm picking.
In your lap? If people want to come get it, do they have to take
I just
scoop it out with my hand. There you go.
Picture opening the door. There's server with oven mitts and a hot pot of mess. Oh, hey. Yeah, I just thought yours might suck.
Can you get a little frosting funnel to dispense it, right?
Like, yep. Yep. What do you think of that?
That's your amount. The rest is for me.
Yes.
Now you stack it all, and I'll make you a shepherd's pie. Come here.
This is a great strategy. There is nothing worse than like shitty mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
they watery.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Thomas, though. I wouldn't go to a dinner with anyone that I thought might have bad ones, though. So that's why I'm not gonna pick that. I would pick. So my grandmother taught me how to make these German egg noodles called Spätzle, and they're really good gravy. And I would bring those with some gravy, and that would be what I brought for everyone.
Oh, damn, that's good.
Wait,
that's
your grandma really made Spätzle as noodles? Because mine made them like dumplings. Like dough, but she cuts them into dumplings.
Yeah, so there's that thicker dough style. And this might be a Bavarian thing for my oma, but like it was more of like a batter type consistency. It's a little runnier, stretchier, and you just kind of run it over this. There's like a special like tool for it, and you like put it over top of the pot, and it's got little holes in it and a box, and you pour it into like the box thing, and you slide it across, and it creates these little tiny dumplings,
ribbon kind of dumplings,
not really like a ribbon. They look like little noodle drops. I don't know how to. They're like little drops of heaven.
Ribbon's not the right word.
Ours were always
for
like pizza roll shaped, but thinner.
Yeah. So that is a way to make them. I think it does have to do with regionality. Something tells me that maybe like Northwest or Central Germany, that's the way they do it, because a lot of recipes call for a thick one. Yeah, but and even my grandmother's friend Gisela, she made it completely different. I think she made it that way, and she was from Hamburg. But mine was from near Munich, so that might explain. But they're both really good. It's just two ways to kind of get to a similar type of vibe.
Holly, what is your answer to this question?
Oh, I love I like assembling my own bouquets. I'm gonna bring a nice. I don't love showing up with flowers because they die off quick. I like showing up with like a bouquet that's got like a lot of greenery in it. Like not showing up with a succulent garden or anything, but you know, some hypericum berries. So depending, very seasonal again. But I'll put together a largely green forward bouquet and show up with it. Okay, so. We've got wine, we've got beer, we've got an offer to do a hated chore, and we've got a reliable go-to starch-based dish. These, I feel, if we were Family Feuding this, I feel like we would fill out the top five fairly easily. Now, question two.
Where would Spencer's initial answer of cash fall
on the board? Let's not worry about that.
Sorry.
Let's not worry about that.
Oh, Lord.
Question two.
He said...
I just wanted to have a nice game.
Please, sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to have a nice game. Fellas, how would each of you react to the following situations occurring in your own home's holiday dinner? Jason, start with you. A guest walks in and hands you a 3-pack of Tide Pins and a bottle of OxyClean spray and said, I thought you might need this.
Yeah, I guess I would assume I was being called dirty.
Okay. Spencer.
Uh-huh.
Say a guest arrives with their own set of takeout containers for leftovers.
I don't think we'd let them in.
Ryan. Guest arrives, whips off their coat to reveal they're already wearing an apron, and enters the kitchen declaring that they're here to help.
Jesus Christ. I mean...
That's Felder.
No, it's not, because Felder was raised by a mother.
But this is what I was... I mean, Cerber has predicted my answer. If it's a very particular person, I welcome this. And if it's anyone else, I look at them like they are insane and trying to talented Mr. Ripley me.
So... Let's go to the two-part thesis of the New York Times article published on November 17th by Rose Mara Laurie. Want to be the best guest at Thanksgiving dinner? Bring these three things. Here is her two-part thesis. As generous and thoughtful as it may seem to be to bring wine or flowers to Thanksgiving, you may be inadvertently assigning the host more work. She then talks about adding the stress of having to find a vase for the flowers or having to find an ice bucket to chill your nice Riesling. Sidebar, I bring a bottle of wine to dinner. I'm not expecting that wine to be consumed with dinner. Like, it's, I assume that that's already, like, yeah, been taken care of, and this is a gift for the host. But anyway.
Yeah, you are contributing to future dinner.
This woman's suggestion in place of wine, flowers, et al. Are show up with stuff to clean everybody's clothes from all the spills, bring enough takeout containers for everyone, or, and this is, hang on, I'm going to read this because they made this, this is in the text, and then they made it a subhead in large text within the article. Upon arrival, hang up your coat, don an apron you brought from home, stride into the kitchen, and declare, I'm here to help. I would kill this person.
I think what is troubling me is that all of these, most of these, the Tide Pen one, I can't get there yet. But most of these are, I think, are driven by mostly healthy impulses. Let's talk about the Tupperware one briefly. This is one that feels extremely New York specific because in New York, everybody's got a tiny fridge.
Right.
People do not like, I have done Thanksgiving in a New York apartment and just storing the food to prep for Thanksgiving, much less having you don't want leftovers. Go ahead. What did you want? Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that because that is briefly mentioned, but it's justified. The main justification for this is this also mitigates many hosts after Thanksgiving struggles of the guilt that comes from gorging on too many leftovers or allowing them to go to waste.
I mean, you got some assumptions about me.
Like this is a language I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
The notion of showing up for dinner and then being like, please give me 2 to 3 more meals to take home. I'm not even sure I would do that. I wouldn't even do this with my parents.
Uh-uh. Like, almost all of these, if you just change the framing to talk to them a day or two before and say, hey, would it be helpful if...
But no, the apron thing is framed as a surprise.
That's insane.
And
that's
it says, you have just become... See, here we go. Better yet, wear the apron under your coat so you can reveal it Clark Kent style. You have just become a holiday hero.
This is good because this means Ramsey. You're on the subway in New York and somebody's like, does that motherfucker have an apron on under their coat?
Subway, like a fucking flasher.
What kind of butcher perv is this?
This is another New Yorkism thing because what the fuck is a coat, huh? Yeah, I'm going to wear an apron over my hoodie and shorts combo.
Homefieldapparel.com.
I'm going to wear an apron with no shirt. I'm just going to go rolling in like Marco Pierre.
No pants
Pierre
either.
Yeah, if I put on an apron, it's going to be hot. So
the Twitter thread that spawned from the posting of this article contains several helpful reactions from readers. I'm going to pull three that I just love.
Yeah.
From O. Sally McMillan, who raises a good point. What do people think hosting is to the point that bringing flowers may tax your host? From Pat Blanchfield, this could have just ended and been fine with the sentence about wine, or it could have gotten great by getting into how weed might be cool to bring too. Instead, look what happened here. Just look what you did.
I mean, the let's assume that the points about flowers and wine are valid. I'm not saying they are. But to me, it's like, if you bring flowers, bring a vase too. Oh, wow, you've saved this Herculean effort from your host. If you bring wine, bring red wine. Now we don't need to find this mythical ice bucket that is vexing us for hours on end. The thing about the apron in particular.
God.
This is written from someone who has never hosted Thanksgiving dinner. Because if somebody came to my house for Thanksgiving wearing an apron and said, I'm ready to help, I would look them dead in the fucking eye and say, you're a day late. You're a full fucking day late.
Yep.
Funny that you mentioned that also because at the top, the host says, I used to be invited to many Thanksgiving dinners. I assume that she means that she now makes them herself, but I would prefer to think that she doesn't get invited places anymore because she always shows up in a damn apron.
Yeah.
I think the,
like, where were you at midnight when I was chopping celery, Rose?
The apron thing, maybe there is a helpful element here where you present yourself as sort of the cook who is to blame for anything that went wrong.
Oh, like the Wicker Man.
You
become the Wicker Man.
Everyone's complaining about the watery mashed potatoes, and you say, yep, I did those.
Mark did it.
Instead of putting the beehive on your head, you put the vat of mashed potatoes.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a reverse Wicker Man because everybody screams at you how to get burned. Yeah. How to get burned.
Yeah. Don't worry. I brought some too, guys. It's fine.
You Roger Goodell it, right? It's not the owners. It's me.
The most helpful suggestion I saw from a user in the thread was, if the host has children, bring an unsolicited, high maintenance, but adorable pet like a domesticated fox.
Like an ocelot.
Yeah. Again, night ham.
How?
Night ham.
Why don't people talk to each other anymore? If you want to know what to bring to a fucking Thanksgiving dinner, just ask. Jesus Christ.
Asking is burdening.
We suggested on... Or if you don't do any of these things, we suggested on Channel 6 Space this past weekend from a user who wanted to know, how can I be a helpful uncle at Thanksgiving, volunteer to take all of the children outside on a walk, or, you know, to play tag in the yard or whatever. Sure. Or again, just do the goddamn dishes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody loves the person who does the dishes.
I think all these things are burdening.
It's... There is one
other thing I think you could bring that people would fucking love. If somebody came to my Thanksgiving dinner and they were just like, I brought a shitload of crab rangoon, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Fuck
pop
yeah.
that shit on the table.
Light it up.
Yeah. Who doesn't love crab rangoon?
I got egg rolls.
Because like no matter when your guests are supposed to show up, nothing's quite ready yet, I will always welcome a hearty app.
I'm going to roll up with 40 egg rolls.
We're gonna build a small dam of egg rolls.
Everyone just housing them like
the kids. Oh. You have to help the kids build a Lincoln Logs cabin.
That's right. That's right.
As our pioneers did, they survived
this
first winter.
This is my egg roll ziggurat. I've brought it to you to honor our forefathers.
This turkey a blood sacrifice to the ziggurat of egg rolls?
God, New York Times. Fuck this all. This all sucks so bad.
I brought a shitload of hot Cheetos.
And once again,
fine.
And once again, there are situations where, you know, someone is someone's children are. I have friends who have kids with flower allergies, or you know, somebody is newly sober, and you don't want to trigger them by showing up with a magnum of champagne. You communicate beforehand.
Tide Pen is the funniest one in retrospect.
Tide Pen is like, here you messy bitch.
It's not, it's, I don't read it that way. I read it as like, hey, I'm a messy boy and I'm gonna fuck your tablecloth.
I can't be trusted around surfaces.
If you just spraying you with OxyClean the second I walk in the door.
When you show up and you walk in the door with, like, you have an armament of cleaning stuff, first of all, like, do you think I don't have any? What are you trying to say? Mm-hmm. But secondly, is like, what do you think we're doing here? We're just going to eat food. Do you think we're going to have a fucking, like,
there's
going to
be some light
wrestling?
Sex afterwards.
Like,
some light sex.
Yeah, we're not.
Do you think we're going to, like, be cutting each other and stuff?
We're not in Jacksonville. This isn't coleslaw wrestling season.
Yeah. This is, like, you're not going to a Gallagher show. You don't need to hand out ponchos.
We're just going to sit here and eat is all we're going
to
do.
Okay, what if you brought ponchos to Thanksgiving? I'm just thinking about worse things that you could bring.
I don't even think of Thanksgiving as, like, a particularly messy meal, but I guess I'm not a huge gravy person, so maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, we are, as previously mentioned, we are a non-gravy household, so this isn't an issue for us either. But cranberry sauce stains like a bitch.
I mean, we do gravy and cranberry sauce, and there is no need for Tide Pins.
Mostly, if I didn't ask you to bring anything, and I'll ask you to bring something if I want you to bring something.
Yeah.
Don't bring anything into my fucking home. I don't. Thanksgiving already requires a surplus of ingredients, equipment, tableware, extra chairs. There's so much shit I need. Don't bring one extra thing unless it's crab rangoon. Would love that crab rangoon again.
I did see one other good idea in the thread, which was a woman who has a relative who always shows up with a fresh baked loaf of banana bread for the next day's breakfast. and it's like just like stashes on top of the fridge. Slice it up for breakfast tomorrow.
You know who would have brought Tupperware to Thanksgiving? Hmm. The original White Pilgrims.
Fuck yeah.
100% would have been like, ooh, yeah. All this fish and deer looks really good. We brought some to go for us.
Here, I brought you a blanket.
Thank you.
Oh, look, you made stuff. Now it's
ours.
And
a Tide pen in case you get it messy.
Mm-hmm. We really did just send the biggest dicks
in case you get it messy. Like,
mm-hmm. Once again.
The least fun people in the world. That's who's here.
I know we already talked about this regarding Ohio, but just imagine trying to return Massachusetts for store credit.
After
400 years of what we have done to it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So I did think about, you're talking about going in with your chef's outfit, right?
And I'm trying to think about how to make it weirder.
You've changed it now. If you show up with an apron, I'm annoyed. If you show up in full chef regalia, now I'm on board.
Speaking only French.
If you showed up in full chef regalia, I'm wondering if you're stripping.
Oui, monsieur chef. Oui.
If you have the hat, you're allowed in the kitchen. Even if we're just going to have you stand there. Because it's funny.
You must
address me in Spanish as patron only. Si, patron. No. I did have an aunt when my mom hosted Thanksgiving 1 year. We did have an aunt show up and say, hey, I'm just here to help. And my mom, who doesn't want to have anybody unhappy with her at any time and is a pleaser, was like, sure, why don't you come in and help? All right. And she walked right in, grabbed a whole stick of butter and threw it right on the peas, which were done and finished. And she took a whole stick of butter and threw them right on a pot of peas and just dropped a whole stick of butter on those things. And I got to be honest, when I saw it happening, I was like, fuck yeah, hit those peas with that butter.
Yeah.
Drop a bomb on it. Those things suck.
Those peas sound pretty good now.
I was also horrified, but I was also like, well played. Those
All right, we're having butter soup with a light vegetable fromage.
It's almost like thank you for
it's
sacrificing.
American miso.
Thank you for sacrificing yourself for the good of the peas.
Mm. Also, keep in mind, if you're the kind of person who says, well, I'll just bring a nice bottle of something, alcohol. You got to know what kind of an environment you're dropping that particular rocket fuel into.
You could also show up with a bottle of like a delicious cider that doesn't have alcohol in it. Like there are variations.
Like Mountain Dew.
There's mm-hmm. yeah.
Correct.
Like, or that's holiday Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Show up with a jug of shine.
Has anyone here actually tasted the holiday Mountain Dew yet?
Which one?
I'm scared.
Wait, there are multiple?
The fruit quake one.
Oh, so this holiday. The gingerbread one from last year.
Yeah, the gingerbread one Jason tried last year.
It was horrible. It's not worth the sugar intake whatsoever.
The fruit quake one somehow looks worse. Because the fruit cake one, it looks like the color is an accident.
It takes a lot for me to say I won't try the weird food. The fruitcake Mountain Dew is...
I would describe the color as domestic violence. It's like this purpley red-brown.
Cool.
It's like Mountain Dew. I ran into a door.
Well, I assume you have to buy this in like a case of 12 or something. You can't.
Oh, no.
You can't just be like, just a sip, please.
There are single bottles.
And the
still,
problem is, if Jason
like
won't try this one, I don't think we know anybody who will.
Right.
Like the single bottle is still like 3 candy bars worth of sugar.
Matt Brown, we call out to you through the ether. Try the weird Mountain Dew.
I don't know, man.
You could maybe get my brother to drink it.
This is like I wouldn't even let Steve-O try it. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
No, we're cutting you off here.
Okay.
The point about be careful who you bring booze to the household of reminded me of in high school. One of my best friends was Russian, and like his whole family was like very like leaning into the stereotype Russian. Like I went over there at like 16, and his sister's like, which vodka would you like? So he came, there was 1 year his whole family's out of town, so he gets invited to the Southern Baptist Kirk household.
Oh,
and walks in with like, it was like really interesting looking wine. I have no clue what kind it was. It might have been imported. I don't know what it was, but it was like this fascinating bottle of wine, and he gets looks that, I don't know why he didn't anticipate this, but still he got looks from my folks that made him say like, I'm just going to leave this by the door. And
Begin playing Counter-Strike as a family?
it was sad, but at least he got to keep all his wine. That's the good part, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I guess I'm the only one drinking this. Okay. Cool. Lame-ass Americans.
And again, the best part is he was like 17 coming over with a bottle of wine. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. I mean, my honest answer why I said cash was this, that if someone has...
So you wouldn't actually do that.
Well, wait, let me stop for one sec. How much?
How much?
You're coming to my house for Thanksgiving. How much cash am I getting?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to show up with 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you...
All right.
Are you going to give me $100 on Thursday?
Sure.
Okay.
You want $100?
Yes.
Holly,
I don't care.
We're going to follow up on this. Mm-hmm. On the next After Dark, the first question I'm going to ask both you and Spencer is, did Spencer give you $100?
Like, I am so
consistent. I already, in my pocket at this moment, have $10 that fell out of his pants just wandering through the house.
Cool. So.
So.
Yeah.
That doesn't See, count towards it.
It was in the laundry. It was in the laundry room. I don't know why.
I am at once so consistently ignorant of how I'm supposed to act around other people.
Sure. And if only there were clues.
And too consistently aware of what an inconvenience it is to those around me that I just think I should pay people.
But
so,
instead of working to change that,
nope, just gonna
you
pay.
Just decide that, nope. Right.
I'm just
instead
gonna
of
pay.
Doing anything about that, you just say, oh, I'm a real piece of shit. That's lunch.
Nope. 100. There you go.
You know what? I think there are worse solutions to this problem.
Like, again,
you think I deserve 100?
Oh, listen, this is just 100's just lanyap.
Okay, so I should get more.
We can negotiate this. I'm
fine. Doing a lot of cooking this week.
I know. Okay.
Men will literally hemorrhage cash instead of going to therapy.
makes more money than me.
I mean, yeah, that's the gist of it. Yeah. Up to 44 billion is the amount, the high score so far.
Yeah, 44 billion.
Spencer's got a long way to go there.
Spencer, you're not currently in therapy, right?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Damn.
There we go.
Okay, it's not working.
You probably could have got 300 if he wasn't.
Shit, I know.
It's not working. Well,
I think painting miniatures counts as therapy
now.
Yes. Painting miniatures does count as therapy.
Yeah.
That's very true. It's very soothing.
There is one thing I would bring
to meditation.
Thanksgiving if I were going to an Auburn household.
Mm.
I bring head coach Lane Kiffin. That's what I would bring.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
It is.
Did you guys see the former Ole Miss director of player personnel or whatever last night?
Yep.
Shoot off at the mouth.
In a very New Jersey way, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't have to go this way.
It doesn't have to go this way.
You come here on the day my daughter is to be married in Stardew Valley.
A lot of people know a lot of dark deeds that have been committed by certain peoples that would not have to be discussed if they remained in their position. Yeah.
If you missed this dude who used to work at Ole Miss, and I missed this initially because I already had this dude blocked. This dude who used to be player personnel director.
I think that's right.
Who is now working at a car dealership or something, based on someone who immediately found his LinkedIn because he does not have a very anonymous name. And I can't remember it, so I won't say it here. I'm not trying to cover for him. I just can't remember. He was making very open statements about, like, you know, certain people might not want to leave for jobs because certain things might come out. And somebody's like, dude, why are you doing this? And he wrote back and he was like, it doesn't have to go this way. You have seen way too much Yellowstone, the bad episodes. Two things. Name one job that Lane has left that this hasn't been true about. And how has that worked out so far?
Guess Florida Atlantic was relatively smooth. comparatively?
No, I mean, name one place that Lane left where there weren't people who could have slung giant handfuls of mud after he left.
Also, when he was at Florida Atlantic, let's have a reminder that on the record, he did an entire interview where he was like, one, yeah, USC, it was messed up. Two, he told everyone how much he made and was like, yeah, I'm in the hole to Layla. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's true.
Those
and also,
those
Florida...
aren't scandalous. But, like, this is an example of the kind of, like, I don't really give a fuck. Do you want to see my pay stub? Do you want to see my text?
My second thought to that point is that now I really want Lane to take the Auburn job because I want two different sets of message boards to be after this guy.
Yeah.
Because he already has his own fan base after him. And I want Auburn's to also turn on him.
The idea of having dirt on Lane Kiffin making you special is...
Yeah, what?
That's really a thought. Like, oh, you've been granted information that everyone else has. Crazy.
As long as the state of Mississippi still has Brett Favre, Kiffin's good. Mm. Kiffin's good. Because whatever kind of hustle and scammery Kiffin's into, it doesn't compare on the athletic figure kind of scale to what Favre is into.
Yeah. So is it funnier if he... Is it funnier if, as he said... he doesn't take the job, and he's like, I announced it on Friday, that's not Saturday. Or is it funnier if he does take the job?
It's funnier if he takes the job.
It's absolutely funnier if he takes it. And yeah. I do like the dancing around the very specific wording of the report. That
I said I announced it on Friday, I never said I would announce it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the report was he's going to take it the day after the Egg Bowl.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, if he takes it 25 hours after the Egg Bowl, then, fake news media has lied to everyone.
Owned. God, I want this to happen just because I want him and Bruce Pearl to share a dais.
Well, like, I was telling somebody else this today. You have so far to go before you can get to the most outlandish lie somebody told about not leaving Ole Miss for Auburn.
There is
a
lot of runway.
There's
a lot of runway at this particular airport, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And at Auburn's airport, so to speak.
I mean, I think the only funny alternative
Houston
to
nut.
Yes, he takes this job is the timeline fits, but he takes... job X that we didn't even have on the that basically
is, this was the
Lincoln
Riley.
Last year?
Yes, the Lincoln Riley being like, yeah. I'm not taking the LSU job and I'm insulted that you would suggest that I would because I'm taking the USC job.
I got one more.
Yeah.
He takes Auburn for 48 hours and then gets the Colts job.
I don't think I would take the Colts job.
Just okay, pick an NFL
sure,
job.
Right,
I don't know what's
right,
open.
Right. Okay. I can see that being worthwhile.
Or he takes the actual funniest thing is he takes the Auburn job and then the Texas job reopens and he goes back there.
I mean, there are worse ideas out there.
Oh, the worst idea is that he takes the Auburn job and then the Alabama job opens and he applies for that. I mean, we could keep going. That's the thing is it's Lane. All of this is in play.
Yeah.
If this happens, and again, at this point, it's just sniff. Do you know who Auburn's first SEC opponent is next year?
I don't. Is it Ole Miss?
It's a road game in College Station, Texas, against the Texas A&M.
Lord, we haven't talked in a while. Got something on my heart that I'd like to ask for.
Mm-hmm. So is the thing there, like, Lane... furthering Jimbo's intransient misery, like, oh,
I think
how much
right.
I can move around where you can't go
what
anywhere.
Lane palming a 20 to Jimbo at the postgame handshake and being like, here, kid, buy yourself something nice.
It's yes. Also prefaced by Auburn's first three games of next year. They host UMass. They go to Cal. And then they host Samford. And at this point, Samford is probably the most dangerous team on that list.
Yep.
But it feels very much like this sets up for Auburn starts 3-0, entering College Station, and everybody's like, you can see these trains colliding, where here's Auburn that made this great hire and is back on the road to relevance, and here's A&M continuing to struggle with their boondoggle of a man as they cannot possibly get out.
Boondoggle man! Boondoggle of a man!
So A&M, meanwhile, will have achieved wins against New Mexico and ULM, most likely. But they'll also have gone on the road to play a Miami that figures to be quite improved and that was not exactly an easy out for them this year.
Right.
So
and
even could be 2-1.
And even if they beat that Miami team, everyone will be like, care. So what? You did that last year and you fucking
sucked. You did that last year. your worst team in decades did that last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, don't forget, that's a clown act. Mm. We got Jimbo. Jimbo's using, that's a clown act, having coaches in our league. Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Echo the kind of stuff about Texas A&M buying their class.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's always there, too. Go ahead and put on the wig if you beat them, right?
Like, wait, what wig?
Like, just go ahead and put on the clown wig on the sidelines, right? Like, Ole Miss, it's 27-20. Time expires. Take the wig, the cartoon Amazon $4 clown wig, right?
Yeah.
Like red, blue, and yellow, and just whoop, pop that baby on, walk right out.
I think so. The thought has just occurred to me that Lane at Auburn is something I actively want, not just because it would annoy Nick Saban, but because the Auburn basketball fans' shit poster mindset, there is no coach who would better fit that and make Auburn football as fun as Auburn basketball. Fun in, like, shit posty way. I mean, not actual good for you fun. Than Kiffin. Because he'll just make refried memes along with the rest of them. Sure, why not? Just teach him how to, like, the worst free Photoshop clone he can get on his phone to make 3-minute memes. He'll join right in.
Just 3,000 of them awake at any hour of the day, ready to deploy on Facebook,
as soon as Auburn beats A&M, what do you get from the fucking head coach's account? LMAO, you just lost to the Raiders' worst coach, right? Like, he'll join right in on that shit.
It is going to be very special if in the span of, I don't know, what is it, 3 months, Auburn poaches Mississippi State's athletic director and Ole Miss's football coach.
Cradle coaches.
Fuck the entire state.
The state must unite to join forces against Auburn.
Y'all done built the wall on the wrong border.
Auburn bought the water rights for the state of Mississippi? Why? Fuck them. That's why.
I mean, they'd probably handle it more responsibly than the state government does. So shit.
There's an argument that that's true.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin, the protagonist of everything. What a fucking stupid situation we find.
They're
going
to talk all this up, then they're going to hire, like, Jeff Grimes from Baylor, right? We're gonna be like,
I can't stop thinking about this. They're not going to follow through with it at all. I have zero belief.
Jim, say it with me. Auburn head football coach Jim Grobe. Jim Grobe.
Just find what you.
So in sync.
Yeah.
What's going on here is a Mississippi media member intentionally publishing a faulty piece of reportage just to get Auburn fans' hopes up so that they're sad about whoever they hire. Like, again, a self-sacrifice situation, like the apron at Thanksgiving dinner.
He ran into the fire.
Well, look, I mean, if you want
the turkey fryer.
If you want a coach who has SEC experience, who has proven at multiple programs that he can build a winner, who will absolutely give you, like, the style of, like, old school ground and pound football that you want, Illinois is not going to match whatever you offer for Brett Bielema.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, you can go get Brett tomorrow. 100%.
I mean,
hey, if you want somebody who can almost be Alabama, Butch Jones is right there.
Actually, here's the thing. Illinois could match and exceed. They just won't. It's the most Big Ten thing ever. They're like, we have $15 million a year for a coach salary. How much are we going to allocate? And they're like, well, first, we save 30% of whatever we get pre-tax. Because that's just sound. Over 3. Here. Second, 7. We need $40 million in interest payments on a new lacrosse facility we just built. So that's over there. This leaves us $7 for a salary on top. So, Brett, you can have an extra $7.
Meanwhile, SEC schools are like, we take out a second mortgage on the dormitories. That's what we do. And all legally, the students are responsible for that second mortgage.
We're going to sell the English department.
Yeah, we've taken a life. We've taken out a life insurance policy on the entire student body. Now consider amortized to an average life expectancy
of
82 years. Okay, this is a very long-term investment with very low risk. We can hide this tax-free here. Then, in a shell corporation that we've built in the Caymans, which is itself held in a Bahamian corporation, which is then put in a Mexican trust, and then converted to cryptocurrency that we ship.
This plan is very specific.
I've been talking with Wes about how we can be shady boosters. So
okay,
like,
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
The life insurance thing,
we're just going to like fake the death of 100 students, and mm-hmm. then we can afford Brett Bielema. Mm-hmm.
Who said anything about faking? I'm dedicated to this plan. Do you want Auburn to win or not?
Parody account.
Yeah. I think the good thing is we already know Brett Bielema looks great in orange and blue.
Correct.
Isn't that enough for you, mm-hmm. Auburn?
Correct.
What more do you need?
Correct. And it will still make another program mad. In your division, it's just a different one.
What does Brett Bielema require for himself and his family that Auburn doesn't have? Well, they got a Lowe's and they got a Jimmy John's. I'm good.
They got a Culver's. The groundwork is laid.
Wow.
Bring the upper Midwest man home. They have a Culver's already.
God, can you imagine Brett Bielema going at 30A? Boy, he'll be living.
Imagine that Brett Bielema at Bucky's.
Cool.
There's only a few schools that can make that happen.
They named a sandwich after me.
They're like,
it's called Big Bert.
They named a brisket after me.
Illinois's given me so much, guys. What can you offer me that Illinois can't? And they just lean it over the table and they're like, drunk on the beach, Brett. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Drunk on the beach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It ain't next door, but it ain't that far.
Bring him home to Metro Columbus, Georgia.
Oh, man.
Bring him home to that panhandle and smelly water life. Come on.
So let me ask what I think is actually the trickier question in all this. If Lane Kiffin takes the Auburn job, who you go get if you're Ole Miss?
Who was it that went down to coach high school, Van Gorder?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what brings that on?
Oh, I was just thinking about the beach and how we gotta remove some coach matter from the beach if we add some coach matter to the beach in the name of conservation.
Sure, it's like the leave a penny, take a penny of college coaches.
Yep.
Yeah,
man, like, I know.
What is the move here?
I know job one. I know who I go after. Jamie Chadwell. I go to Coastal and get
honestly,
Jamie.
I think he can hold out for better.
I think he can, but that would be my first go. Is to go either to I would go to Jamie Chadwell,
Matt Campbell. I'm sorry. I'm never going to be off the Matt Campbell drum.
Matt Campbell
can do better too.
I know.
Yeah, but
I also think he might have stayed too long.
I also think, without opining whether Matt Campbell is a good hire in an objective sense, it feels like Matt Campbell is the prime example of reasonable hire you could make that would immediately piss the fan base off. That would immediately have them all being like, we traded in the Lane trade for this lame son of a... Look at him! He looks like he reads books and drinks water!
Yeah, it's...
Those would both be objections, I agree.
A good hire, the man has a winning record at Iowa State, and because he is such a good coach, we have lost sight of how unlikely it is to have a winning record after any amount of time at Iowa State.
Yes.
And this year it's going rough, sure. But
it's going rough where it's like Iowa State keeps losing one score games.
They are
they're by far the best 4-win team in the country, and like that's LMAO. That's what a bad thing to be. But it's when you have a season in which everyone gets 12 games. Mm-hmm. You have to view something like I'm looking at the computers right now.
They've lost six games. They're one spot below Auburn.
Okay, so
they've lost six. They've lost six games by 24 points combined. Their biggest loss is a 14-point loss to Oklahoma, which they had to turn the ball over three times to none for the Sooners to even get that wide a margin. It's like they're just an immovable object, and if they nudge a little bit this way, they're a 10-win team, and if they nudge a little bit this way, they're a 4-win team.
Yeah. It feels so...
Like, this team is basically the same team as Auburn, which is constructed of 4-star material. Iowa State is... there are no stars. The sky has been blanked out. And yet, they have the same team as Auburn. So, in this hypothetical scenario where Ole Miss goes to hire Matt Campbell, yes, everyone would hate it, and it would be just fine.
The other problem you would have with it, though, is if, I don't know if this is true, I'm just guessing, if Lane goes to Auburn, the transfer portal exodus is going to be serious. Like, I have to imagine he is
the entire Ole Miss roster going to Auburn. Yes. is the biggest reason I want this.
So now if you hire Matt Campbell, the pitch is, don't worry, he's bringing his clones crew with him. And it's like, oh, this is sounding worse by the minute to an Ole Miss fan.
Also, can I just say that if you have
So now we're – no, but this brings up an interesting new paradigm in terms of coach hire. We're entering the who all going to be there age, right?
Yeah.
Like, so now you're shopping – you can shop not only for a coach, but you can shop for a roster.
Yeah. But also at step one – if I look at Matt Campbell and I go, well, we're going to have to work and get you up to like SEC gangster level recruiting, right? That means I have Matt Campbell, who is one of the most Ohio looking dudes on the planet, who's like, I'm very serious at all times. I have never smiled once. All I do is focus on X's and O's and football and recruiting players all day long.
But is there a chance that could catch on with a like in the breakup mindset of, oh, we don't need Lane. We need to find ourselves a nice man.
Well, maybe, but you still need to introduce him to whatever boss hog like absolute scoundrel of a recruiter you have getting everyone in the boat for you with NIL, right? So at one point we take very serious Matt Campbell and we're like, hi, here, you could meet Shaky Knees McGillicuddy, our recruiter. And he's like, hi everybody, hey, nice to meet you, Matt. I'll be down in Biloxi this weekend. I don't see it happening. Like, that's
how did Shaky Knees make his money? In fraudulent medical devices. It's a surprisingly booming market.
This is a placebo effect.
Do not put it on your knee.
There's a verified placebo effect when you purchase a medical device that is specifically marketed as fraudulent. Yeah.
You buy this believe and achieve device, which you require the use of another medical device to overcome the medical device that I just sold you. That's
and then a third booster of ours sues the medical device company for the fraud, and we all make money in the end.
And then we buy football players.
How did we get through job searches in the SEC and medical device fraud, and Hugh Freeze's name has not come up once?
No,
that guy's really fallen off.
That's man, a good
he'd be,
num- and hard
he'd be
question.
Number one if they could. Like, he would be number one if they hadn't already done it. That is dead serious. I only have one other serious name for this.
Yeah.
And it's one that I would always say he had a medical issue that forced him to leave the job that he made his bones and reputation at. But if he wanted to, I mean, and he worked in the area and is an incredible football coach and maybe too good for them if I'm talking about like a lot of circumstantial stuff. Bill Clark.
Man, I love this so much. God.
He rules.
He does. I'm taking the Lord's name in vain because I'm just, man, that guy deserved better in so many ways.
I was worried you were going to say Urban Meyer because that is also, we are also in that phase where like every open
I understand
job...
being surprised that this went in a serious direction.
I have the other guy not to take this job and to not even offer or ask. All right. Dave Aranda at Ole Miss would be the worst goddamn fit I can actually imagine.
He likes Baylor. You never fucking know.
It's true. But a guy after a loss who goes, well, we need a lot of introspection. No.
Yeah, any Baylor
game. I'm going to go home and journal about it.
Matt Rhule, nope. Absolutely not.
The announcers or any Baylor gamer are like, this guy was like quoting Cicero to us. I don't know how this works.
Except guy is not the noun that they would use.
The quote I got from a room full of analysts at ESPN who had all met with him and been like, real nice guy, real great.
Who are we talking about?
He's weird.
Yeah, but we know what they mean by that.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who will...
I'm not mocking him, to be very clear. I am not mocking him. I'm saying, like, this guy is honest about his shortcomings and his process, and that freaks us out.
Correct. He's a normal human being.
He has read a book.
Mm.
Yeah. That's not a playbook.
Mm-hmm.
We're still within...
Shocking and disturbing.
I would say, though, we are still within the window where Ole Miss has had a good old boy coach in the last like 5 to 7 years, so they're still traumatized by the shortcomings of said old good old boy coach, right? Like, hey, we need a man like Matt Luke. Old Miss people could be like, oh, whoa, slow down on that.
Wasn't he on Georgia's staff for a period?
Yeah.
Special teams coordinator, right?
Let me.
How many of those do they have?
Been right, yeah.
Oh man, most recently served as
Yeah, they so they're still. You could probably
please look at Matt Luke's Wikipedia page. Go okay. right now. Look at the photo. Okay. Look at the photo. Look at the photo.
Matt Luke.
Wikipedia folks, you could do page. This at home.
Well, that's handsome.
First day of school.
That is the most Rick Scott looking photo that I have ever seen a photo a football coach take.
We're the same age?
He's 46.
No,
now
not.
I know.
Oh my God,
Spencer's.
Matt Luke is
that rules.
Matt Luke is the opposite of Dave. He's the anti David Cutcliffe.
Yes, he was. He was. Sorry, you were close. He was the assistant head coach and O line coordinator, O line coach rather at Georgia yeah. last year, but he stepped down citing.
Oh, he's doing the family time thing.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the move that will first happen is Ole Miss will go through the list of, well, we just got poached, so who? What other SEC coach can we try to steal away instead?
Clark Lee.
Mm-mm.
He's on an SEC winning streak, so I can't talk shit about him.
Two in a row, baby. Two in a row's the streak.
I can't talk shit about him at this point.
Shane Beamer.
Would love to see an aggressive push for Shane Beamer. Yep.
That'd be very funny.
Would love to see an aggressive push for Mark Stoops. Think that'd be great.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the universe we live in now and how
the man did
funny.
Just get yet another raise. So possibly the push has already happened.
Wait, is this still off this? Is this still off that automatic kick in his contract thing, or did they give him another one?
No, this was a new extension, I believe.
Okay. Doesn't he have like an extra year every time he hits seven?
I think he has one of those deals, yeah. But this was also like a new deal they signed before they lost to Vanderbilt.
A new deal, huh?
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Spencer, who's the athletic director at Texas A&M?
Ross Bjork.
Why is that name familiar?
Where was he before he had that job?
He was at the University of Mississippi.
You think it's possible we could do some sort of sign-and-trade deal where... We sort of
that
take
most
it.
Sacred let's, festivals Toyota-thon.
Let's call it a distressed asset, and we move that off the A&M books.
Damn right, my ass is distressed. What are you doing selling me, Ross?
What do we think about that as an option?
I like it, especially because it does my favorite thing, which is saddle Ole Miss with a massive pile of debt.
Because no, oh, this
Brett
is Favre's this is
got just the thing.
Nah, this you can't do it that way because A, I don't think Ole Miss can take on that level of debt, and B,
no, Jim, Ryan,
no,
how dare you say
I
that we cannot get a bunch of businessmen in Mississippi to take on a massive level
challenge accepted.
But I think look, you see this in pro sports contracts all the time where you're like, okay, this player is getting traded, but his original team still has to pay like $5 million of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't, and there's probably a legit reason why, but I'm not interested in that. Correct. Why couldn't A&M say, all right, if you take Jimbo off our hands, we will pay $20 million of the contract, but you have to take on the rest. And then you do whatever you want. You want to keep him there forever? Great. You want to take our pretend future national championship? Plaque, have it. You can have that with the deal as well.
Oh, I love this.
Why can't we sort of say, let's sort of split the burden that is Jimbo Fisher's coaching contract?
Ryan, you ever wanted to be an athletic director?
Yeah.
I think
this
I'm
is some smart
up
shit.
To it. Thank you. Thank you.
Where should we put Ryan in as athletic director?
What if A&M and Ole Miss simply do the trade now, preempt Auburn? Go ahead and lock it in. And
this
then
would also
there's
make
no
Lane's
way Auburn's
going to
outbid A&M for Lane. Maybe you can outbid Ole Miss, but good luck outbidding A&M. They're fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you screw over Auburn. You get yourself a coach who has won a national title. Believe
Correct.
It or not, kids,
and
that
can
has
recruit.
Happened.
And can mm-hmm. recruit.
It knows people who can recruit. Sure, it's true.
Technically,
yeah.
this
and
is
you
true.
pair up Lane with the actual talent at A&M, which is the people who are paying those recruits.
Look at that.
I see the vision. I see it.
Wow.
Everyone's happy except Auburn, which is what makes Ole Miss happy.
And us.
Crude
That's
oil.
A good plan.
Crude oil, by the way. I'm looking at the current price of crude oil.
Price of crude in the Permian.
Price of crude in the Permian. Let's see. Oil futures are they went down a little bit, but we are still overall up. So So I think we're good on continuing to spend. Please remember that people at Texas A&M are, of course, personally engaged in responsible finance and have certainly not spent all of that money already and borrowed against future earnings. That's definitely not what people in the petrochemical industry ever do.
They've all done this.
No.
If it goes down a dollar, no. You're dead.
All right. So if I like Jason's plan, we've now swapped Jimbo for Lane. With some cash moving to help grease the wheels of commerce.
This also would make Lane's Twitter statement still true if we do it now.
But now we just saddled Ole Miss with Jimbo, correct?
I think, look.
They're all rich.
There is that period of time where, first of all, Jimbo can most years reliably get you 8 wins. And that plays differently at Ole Miss than it does at A&M, right?
At this point, I think so, yeah, because you're not going to bring him in and hand him championship trophies to be filled in a year later, right? You're going to at Ole Miss, you're going to know, let's not set the expectations sky high.
Right.
Let's say, hey, we like going to bowl games 5 out of 6 years. That's the standard here at Ole Miss, and this guy can get us there.
Jimbo sometimes benefits from a new and fresh environment. He can give you like a couple of years like, hey, this thing's getting turned
out. You're making him sound like a turtle.
Is he not a super rich turtle?
Do you know who I just realized he looks like? This has bothered me for years. You know that turtle in Never Ending Story?
Correct. Absolutely correct. 100% correct.
Yeah.
So his offense in number of plays. Mm-hmm. Currently ranks 115th. You're telling me that's not a turtle?
Excellent point, as always. Thank you all for keeping me honest.
That sounds like a man who can like bring back Ole Miss to like old school football.
Excuse me, plays per game 120th. So
that's good.
God, that's so little content.
That's a thrifty. You know what? Y'all talking about his salary being exorbitant. That's thrifty football. I think you misjudged the man.
Listen. With Lane Kiffin, you have to worry that if you don't break down the tailgate in time, you might miss a touchdown or two. Jimbo's not going to do that to you. Absolutely not.
No.
Jimbo wants you to finish your chicken
Jimbo
fingers.
Jimbo cares about the fan experience.
That's right.
So please show up 10 minutes late, you leave for the entire fourth quarter, you've missed like 7 plays.
Let me pour you a julep. Relax. Right. Sit down.
So if we've successfully executed
Enjoy this
swap.
Chafing dish full of macaroni and cheese.
And if we have taken Lane Kiffin and Jimbo Fisher off the board, Spencer, where does Auburn go from there? Writ large. Like, Lane is the only name that seems to be consistently getting any heat. If that doesn't happen, whose choice be?
I think the choice, like, I'm going to be serious. I think it's somebody like Jeff Grimes at Baylor, their offensive coordinator, who's going to be, like, very much a Sam Pittman model, where you go, here's a guy. He likes being here, pretty good at his gig. Expectations are currently at glass is 3/4 full and not getting any higher. Let's just chill. We know this guy. Here's a guy. Okay. Now, they've done this before, as in Brian Harsin, but that was a guy with no connections whatsoever to the program who spoke none of the language and was like, you know what? Recruiting is for bitches.
What are Jeff Grimes' connection to Auburn? That he was there for like 3 years a decade ago?
Yes. That's it.
That's more than Brian Harsin, to be clear.
Okay. Holly, what were you going to say?
You know, the thing where you fire your offensive coach and you go hire a defensive coach?
Yeah.
What if Auburn, in an attempt to zig where others have zagged, went to hire another iconoclast coach who would piss off everybody in the building and called Tom Herman? Like, what if they decided to have the same set of problems all over
again? I mean,
again?
it's a very...
Just to be different.
There's like a little bit of like, we are the home for prodigal sons.
I don't hate this idea now that I said it out loud.
It looks like everybody else does,
but I don't. Sorry, I don't even know why I thought that was funny.
The funniest name and a guy who I think would
Pat Narduzzi.
Okay, I was wrong. I have the second funniest name. Pat Narduzzi he walks in, he's like, y'all scored too many points.
Yins.
The
Yins
old booster's going to be like, woo!
Nick Saban's like, this guy gets
this
it.
This guy gets it.
This suddenly becomes the most genial rivalry.
I do think Saban views the dues as like a man of purity, right? A man who didn't sell out to modernity by agreeing to score points. Like, he's who I should have been.
He bows before him before unsheathing his sword. He's like, I hate to kill a fellow man of the cloth, but if I must.
If I must, I'm going to do it by scoring the touchdowns we both hate.
In the samurai film, he's the one introduced by the school truant going, who is that weird old man up there with the sword? And they'd be like, some say he is the purest of all the monks.
The dudes.
The Ronin with no black stain
the
on his soul.
The wandering dudes.
Wow.
The dudes.
I had the second funniest answer. Thank you. The funniest answer I have is James Franklin.
Oh boy, he's shown he can win in Auburn.
How many times, dude? We've already seen an omen after Ryan. I forget where you were here when you called. Remember when you called Penn State unlicensed Auburn?
Yeah,
I forget if you were here, but I was in Opelika last week driving to pick up that foster puppy, and I passed a house divided Penn State Auburn vehicle.
Listen, all I need is this. I need James Franklin end of game management against Nick Saban, and just looking at the look
against Nick's utter snake. But you know, watching Nick just have a moment of his pure stupid end game bad fucking luck against James Franklin fucking it up intentionally. I have to assume it's intentional at this point because he keeps doing it and he's not stupid.
Yeah,
I like that. That's
yeah.
My criteria for all Auburn hires is what annoys Alabama the most. And this is one where I think it does the magic thing where it annoys Auburn and Alabama equally. Because Franklin is verified an excellent coach. Mm. Once the definition of coach is all the things that go into the job, right? Not just what happens in the final 30 seconds of a football game, but the other 99.9% of the year, James Franklin is excellent, right? Just because of the comedy that occurs in high-stakes scenarios and the way those things tend to favor Auburn, this really might be the best move.
So here we go. Here we go. I'm going to keep selling it, even though I know that y'all are in the boat. I'm going to make sure that you are in the luxury cabin with your feet propped up, someone rubbing them, and champagne in hand by telling you all of the following things that I think make James Franklin work. One, a mysterious collection of quarterbacks who could both be described as talented but not elite, erratic and charming. This describes
James Franklin would have had Bo Nix. What more do you want?
You're correct. Correct. You see the vision. Outstanding running backs. All right. Brilliant skill players who occasionally are used as they should and then sometimes disappear completely. This is perfect. This is exactly what I want out of both Auburn football and Penn State football. I'm going to continue going here. Reliable, intimidating defense across the board. Sometimes let down by baffling game management and erratic offense.
A resilient defense that is good for at least two fart cloud games a year.
Correct. Correct. At least two, we gave up 45 to Pitt through the air. We were all angry. Narduzzi hated it.
We decided to take away the thing the opponent loves.
Exactly. Tell me this doesn't fit in the end, too. When you have Auburn, Miss State, and they're like, we're going to cruise by 30 over Miss State. And Mike Leach is like, 70 on the board. Mm-hmm. The defense is like, I don't know. We were really full. That's it. We ate too much before the game.
There's one more element here.
Yes. I have one more as well. What is yours?
The constant feeling of roster mismanagement, no matter what choice.
No matter what happens.
No matter what choice you make, it always feels like the wrong choice to everyone else.
Yeah.
That's the croutons. That's the croutons on this big business salad.
Exactly. Someone who goes through the entire program comes out, goes into the NFL, and they're like, he's an all-pro fullback. And he's like, it's weird. At Auburn, he was playing punter.
Yep. And he didn't even start.
He didn't even start. It's fucked up, man.
Backup punter at Auburn.
War Eagle. The last thing would be this, just to give that little special James Franklin element, which also is in harmony with Auburn's traditions as a program and a people. Endgame shenanigans unlike any you've ever seen. There will be a moment when Auburn head coach James Franklin in the Iron Bowl up by 3 points, okay, to kick an extra point with a minute and a half left, okay, decides to go for two.
Yes.
Fuck he'll do that. He'll do that. And when he makes it, and at the end of the game, they're like, why did you go for two there? He will say the one thing that Auburn fans want to hear in the wake of victory, which is this. It's a God thing. It's a God thing.
I think this is an unfair characterization, and this is why. I don't think James Franklin limits his baffling decisions to just end-of-game situations. You are just as likely to be like, wow, James Franklin kicked a field goal from the 2-yard line in the first quarter as you are to see some shit at the end of the fourth quarter. Like, there are sprinkles of it throughout. He doesn't – it's not perfectly coached game and then, oh, shit, I ran out of gamer fuel and I totally ran off the rails.
Get that man some hot Cheetos.
You will get some bullshit as you go.
You also get to enjoy Auburn. Let's face it, you love being paid attention to, right? Like you love starring. You love being the main character of college football. Well, in James Franklin, you have a coach who is always up for every job, but is never up for any jobs. And how much would you love that? You would love that. Every Auburn broadcast, they're talking about when he's going to – it's his first game, and they're talking about whether he's going to leave you for USC when Lincoln Riley gets an NFL job. Right. You would love that shit.
Right, right. In a way that I think Penn State doesn't. Like, I think Penn State is like, Jesus Christ, this is tiresome. But I think at Auburn it would be like, you hear he turned down the Bears job? That's right.
Hell yeah, we're better Fuck than loves the Bears. Right, because like Penn State, you sort of have this thing where you have to pretend you're like – a top five destination dream job for anyone.
You're used to constancy and
there's that, yeah.
And stability. And whereas, Auburn's like, we're not used to that at all.
And Auburn, you know you're not a destination dream job.
Yeah.
You know that and you accept it because there's one down the road.
Yeah.
Also conversations between Bruce Pearl and James Franklin where they just make statements at each other.
You have a guy who thinks way too much about things outside of sports and a guy who does not think about things outside of sports.
This is the most nightmarish model UN you could possibly
like, I don't think they would use these words, but it's like they would just be that's crazy manning past one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what champions do. Hey, I got a new deck. Have you seen the new Genesis Coupe? It's real nice. It's got 350 horsepower. It's a lovely day out. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, just statements that make no sense going past each other.
Just like two Sims. War Eagle.
Yeah, two Sims. Just throwing out random.
Who have been random... programmed to talk but not to interact. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did that one Sim just have a Palestine flag just, over yes, his
just
cloud?
Emoji word clouds and one of them is like way too geopolitical.
The other one's just like ice cream.
Yeah. Also, can you not imagine the James Franklin approach to football propaganda flying at Auburn where they say things like 5 straight Super Bowls with an Auburn, or, you know, every Super Bowl's had an Auburn player,
100%.
Except for 5 of them.
Mm. Yep.
And the Auburn family stuff, that would make James Franklin just, like, weep, openly weep, whether he's supposed to or not. Just day one, it's like, it's so affecting being here at Auburn, part of the Auburn family. He would say it so much, even Auburn people would be like, you don't have to say it literally.
He'd
time.
Run
you
out on the field
Auburn.
Covered in toilet paper. He'd be so excited.
I've tumors to myself.
Fuck, I think I want this more than Lane Kiffin getting the job.
Yeah. I think this is better, frankly.
And then Penn State, you go get Dion.
Oh, obviously.
just you know, all that trying to be Ohio State stuff and, you know, like trying to be a little bit Michigan shit. No, just we're going to get a shitload of players is what we're going to do. That's our plan.
I would love that. I would love for Ryan Day to be putting in 19-hour days and lose to Dion, who works a perfectly reasonable 7.5, 8.5-hour day and is like, yeah, I'm going home.
Yeah, oh, and what, Dion walks in day one like, we can't afford logos for the helmets. That's done. We're getting a logo on the helmet. We're putting our names on our jerseys.
If Penn State hires Deion Sanders, the Proud Boys are not coming there for concerts anymore. No. So this is a real two birds with one stone kind of situation. That'd be great because Deion would be like, why is the helmet all white? Be like, oh shit, is that racist? I think maybe, oh fuck. And maybe it is.
I mean, there's probably an origin story where it is. So
yeah.
Somewhere in the lore it is, I bet.
PJ Fleck would challenge him to a race. You're like, Dion, come on.
He get cooked.
Mr. Boat. Mr. Row the Boat.
Mr. Boat.
Mr. Boat.
I mean, Roth is his first name. And there, didn't he do the naked polar bear thing?
Wait, yeah. What? Dion lost what?
No. Yeah, he's talking about PJ Fleck.
Fleck.
Right?
Yeah.
No, you said Dion lost toes.
No. I think Dion lost some.
I don't know who's talking about
what
now.
Huh?
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted because Spencer said Dion
lost
toes. Like, yeah. Like Bad Boys Mower lost toes? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah. He had two toes.
Like three toes?
He had two toes.
Oh,
yeah,
Dion lose
blood
one toes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
God.
He had two toes amputated.
Huh. Yeah.
I bet he could still win.
Still yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think even with two toes amputated, Dion's still smoking PJ Fleck.
He could lose all his toes. He'd be fine.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just walking on a handstand.
That's the other thing. PJ Fleck is going to try to get every one of the jobs we just named and just not know.
Yeah, is he one of those guys? We talked about Matt Campbell kind of like sort of being stuck. And I mean, I don't want to say stuck, but there's not a whole lot of momentum there, right?
Well, Matt Campbell, I get the sense, and I don't know anything, so this may not mean anything, but I get the sense that like Matt Campbell is not grasping for any job that is a step up from Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PJ Fleck, like, basically all but got Oregon tattooed on his chest when that job last came open. and like didn't even seem to get a little bit of traction. So like I think that there is a difference there in like wanting it and also probably I suspect those are two very different interview rooms. Let's put it that way.
So yeah. A few moments ago we solved for the problem of A&M. I think let's start all the way over because Fleck, there's a guy who does the most, does things he doesn't need to do. Just should dial it down a notch. Doesn't need to do all that shit, right? Doesn't need that many traditions. Now we're going to take all that shit and we're going to stack it on top of A&M's list of shit they do. Look at all that shit being done by PJ Fleck, A&M head coach. That's so much shit. Like every day is a full itinerary of shit nobody needs to do.
ESPN's going to love this. It's going to be like, we love A&M games. It's like an extra 45 minutes worth of commercial breaks.
So, PJ, like, think about
it. So much content.
A&M comes with lore. PJ Fleck comes with lore.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The two of them, we got a whole content universe.
The lore is not based in national championships. That's important as well.
That is correct.
None of those in a long time.
I'm going to teach the dog how to row. I don't think that's it. I'm going to teach her.
There's no water anywhere, man.
Make a lake. Row the
make a lake.
I love
Let's
us.
See. Minnesota or A&M, more recent national title, I think. Yeah, it's Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Double, in fact.
Yeah, ooh, Minnesota three, was like, ooh, what? Double. What? Yeah. Minnesota was what, 41?
I was going to say like
41
50.
And 40.
Okay.
41 and 40, okay.
A&M sliding in 39.
If you won a national title when a Jode was alive, it just doesn't count.
Lord.
That should, you know what it should be? You should have to state how many states existed in the U.S. when you last won a national championship.
Yeah. Who'd you beat?
Title.
How many states did you beat?
How many territories were there instead of states at that point?
At any point, was somebody notified of the championship via a telegram?
Correct. Or just somebody running off a train.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Three weeks ago, Texas A&M won the national title, sir.
I seen the smoke way up the tracks.
Can you imagine how mad Nick Saban would be if he had to take a fucking train to a game? Well, we have to get on the train. That's going to take 11 hours.
Train D's.
Train D's.
God.
Just 11 hours of just angry Nick Saban on the train.
That damn game cost me 7 weeks of recruiting.
I got to put the O-line all in one car, and it's just a big fart box in there.
That's fucking
Jesus
terrible.
Christ. It smells terrible.
If that happened, we would have had like actual hypertrain technology centuries.
Oh, that is why we don't have it. Fuck. That's true.
If it had been a football problem, yeah, we would have had that shit instead of interstates.
Yeah. We would have been like, we got cold fusion trains. We invented them in 1973. It was fucking amazing.
Because it was a problem for fucking Newt Rockne, so we solved it.
Everyone else still has highways, but there's Shinkansen level bullet trains between Athens, Tuscaloosa, yes. and Baton Rouge. Yeah.
The SEC Hyperloop.
But I want to go to Atlanta. Fuck Georgia Tech. Absolutely not.
You want to go to Atlanta? Well, you shouldn't have taken up coaching a Mississippi school.
Oh, wait.
We don't have a director out there.
Shit, we played the championship game there. All right, they can have one train.
Coach Saban, this goes through a fragile ecosystem, an orphanage, and a children's hospital. Just do it. Just put it right through there. Do you want to win or not?